sorry, Mike, you missed out on some of it, but probably not the bad part. Okay. So anyway, let's get back here. So they picked Saul out as their king because he looked good. That's the way people vote today. He's a good-looking guy. You know, he's got a slick tongue. He can talk very well. Let me tell you what. What did the Bible say? God looks on the heart. Man looks on the outside appearance. We can't see people's hearts. You know, it takes a long time sometimes to get to know somebody. Did you know that?
Yes.
It takes a long time. I remember when Kevin from Tallahassee came and preached to us one Sunday, and it was right before Mike became our pastor, and it was a really good sermon because what he told me was so correct. He said, get to know your pastor as quick as you can. Don't wait for you. Sometimes people wait years before they get to know their pastor. No, you get to know him immediately. Get to know who he is. Get to see him in the good, the bad, and the ugly. Get to see him in all circumstances. Because that way, you can find out who he really is. You want to know who I am? Stay around me for a while. Go ask my kids about me. Go ask people out that live here on St. George Island or people that have known me for, you know, I've been here since, moved here since 1975, but my parents had a house here, had the seventh house on St. George Island. So I've been here a long time. Go find out what people say about people. But just remember this, your reputation is what people say about you. Your character is who you are. Your reputation can change daily. Your character is only changed by the hand of God. God's the only one that can change my character. In verse 10 of 1 Samuel chapter 15, it says, now the word of the Lord came to Samuel, saying, I greatly regret that I have set up Saul as king, for he has turned back from following me and has not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried out to the Lord all night. So when Samuel rose up early in the morning to meet Saul, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul went to Carmel, and indeed he set up a monument for himself. Set him up one for himself. And he has gone around and passed by and gone down to Gilgal. And Samuel went to Saul, and Saul said to him, blessed are you of the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord. But Samuel said, what then is this bleating of the sheep in my ears and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? And Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites, and the people spared the best of the sheep and the oxen to sacrifice to the Lord your God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. Then Samuel said to Saul, be quiet, and I will tell you what the Lord said to me last night. And he said to him, speak on. So Samuel said, when you were little in your own eyes, you were not a head of the tribes of Israel. And did not the Lord anoint you king over Israel? Now the Lord has sent you on a mission and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners of the Amalekites and fight against them until they are consumed. Why then did you not obey the voice of the Lord? Why did you swoop down on the spoil and do evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said to Samuel, but I have obeyed the voice of the Lord. He thought he was doing it. He thought he was doing right and he was doing wrong. This is how sin nature can take over. This is what happens. We think we're doing right. We're doing wrong. He didn't obey the voice of the Lord. But I have obeyed the voice of the Lord and gone on a mission on which the Lord has sent me and brought back Agag, king of Amalekite. I have utterly destroyed the Amalekites, but the people took the plunder, the sheep and the oxen, the best of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice to the Lord your God in Gilgal. You see, he tried to appease God. He said, oh, no, no, no. We just didn't do all this because we kept the best of the best. God told him to utterly destroy everything, and he didn't do it. You know why he kept the best of the best? Because he wanted it for himself. He said, oh, no, I did that so we can sacrifice back to God. And God says, no, you disobeyed me. Has the Lord, and here's what Samuel said, and we just repeated this, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and adultery. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected you from being king. The Lord threw him out. You know, God puts people in office, and let me tell you what, he can take them out too. The Bible says that no one takes office unless God allows it. Sometimes he gives us our wish. You want this bad guy, just like they wanted Saul. You know, you want this bad guy? Okay, I'll let you have him. I'll just let you see what it's going to be like. But in this particular case, because Saul was so evil, we saw some things on Wednesday night that were just terrible that Saul did. He was a terrible king. And he went one step too far, and the Lord drew a line in the sand, and he said, you disobeyed me, Saul, and I have rejected you as king. You're done. You're over. You're out. And he was out. And he chased David around for a long time trying to kill him. But yet, you remember what the Bible said about King David? He told Samuel, he says, I'm going to get a man after my own heart to be the next king. I'm not going to let the people choose this time. I'm going to choose it. So he went out and got King David, who he said was a man after his own heart, because the Lord sees the heart, man looks at the outward appearance. And you can go back and look at that. But having said that, did King David make some mistakes? Because he was a sinner. He sure did. He made some really bad ones. And we're going to look at that. Look at 2 Samuel, one chapter over. Look at 2 Samuel, chapter 12. Starting in verse 1. Then the Lord sent Nathan to David, and he came to him, and he said to him, there were two men in one city, one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceedingly many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing except one little ewe lamb, which he had brought and nourished. And it grew up together with him and with his children. It ate of his own food and drank from his own cup and lay in his bosom, and it was like a daughter to him. And a traveler came to the rich man, who refused to take from his own flock and from his own herd to prepare one the wayfaring man who had come to him. But he took the poor man's lamb and prepared it for the man who had come to him. So David's anger, Nathan brought this specifically. God organized this to flush David out. He specifically brought this before King David to see what he would do. So David's anger was greatly aroused against the man, and he said to Nathan, as the Lord lives, the man who has done this shall surely die, and he shall restore fourfold to the lamb, because he did this thing and because he had no pity. Then Nathan said to David, you are that man. Can you imagine what King David did when he was up there? You see, he judged correctly because he was a man after God's own heart. But he would not acknowledge his own sin. And God had to flush him out. And Nathan said, David, you announced this correctly. The judgment was correct. But you are that guy. You are that guy. Thus says the Lord God of Israel, I anointed you king over Israel. I delivered you from the hand of Saul. I gave you your master's house and your master's wives into your keeping. I gave you the house of Israel and Judah. And if that had been too little, I would also have given you much more. The Lord said, all you had to do was ask. All you had to do was ask me. Why have you despised the commandment of the Lord to do this evil in his sight? You have killed Uriah the Hittite with a sword. You have taken his wife to be your wife, and you have killed him with a sword of the people of Ammon. Now, therefore, the sword shall never depart from your house. Now, here's his punishment for being disobedient to God. He said, now, therefore, the sword will never depart from your house, because you have despised me and have taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your wife. Thus says the Lord, behold, I will raise up adversaries against you from your own house. And I will take your wives before your eyes and give them to your neighbor. And he shall lie with your wives in the sight of this son. For you did it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel, before the sun. Now this is the punishment that David had to take. So David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said to David, the Lord has put away your sin. You shall not die. You see, he pronounced the verdict on himself. He said, I'm that man, and I'm worthy of death. But the Lord knew his heart. And what is this called right here? He should have died, but he didn't. What is it called?
Grace.
It's called grace. That's exactly right. The Lord gave him grace because he was a man of his own. He says, however, because by this deed you have given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child whom is born to you shall surely die. Then Nathan departed to his house. And he had a young son, and he was born, and he got real gravely ill. And it's all in the next chapter right here on the preceding verses right there. And we know the story that David fell down prostrate before the Lord, and he wouldn't get up, he wouldn't eat, he wouldn't do anything. And he said, Lord, please save my son. Please, please save my son. And yet they came to him after days. And they said, and they were scared to come to David and tell him that his son had died. They were scared because he was a king. He could have killed him. But they came and said, your son has died. And you know what David did? He did the exact opposite of what everybody thought he was going to do. It says he got up. He dressed himself, he washed himself off, and he got himself some food. He said, bring me some food. And they said, well, wait a minute. Your son just died now, and now you're up out roaming around and you're eating again. He said, let me tell you what. God has spoken, and I can't change it. But he said, this one thing I know, and I paraphrase this. He said, this one thing I know, where my son is, there I will be one day with him. It's pretty powerful. That's pretty proud. That's faith, folks. That's faith. He said, God has spoken. He's made his decision. Now my son's dead. But I know this, that where he is, one day I will also be there with him. So he knew that God was going to take care of his son in heaven, and that one day he would be there with him. That shows you the heart of David in there. That he was sorry for what he did, but he paid a high price, folks. A high price the rest of his life. His own son, whom he loved, was Absalom. And the Bible says that he chased after him all the time. He loved Absalom. And yet Absalom tried to kill him. He wanted to kill his dad so he could take his power from him, so he could take his position. And that's what David had to deal with the rest of his life. But see, he was disobedient to God. When we disobey God, there are consequences in this life. There are consequences that we'll have to pay. Now let's go to the New Testament in here. Look at Ephesians. Let's go over to the New Testament. Look at Ephesians and chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Children, chapter 6, verse 1. Here's what the writer of Ephesians said. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and that you may live long on this earth. And so we're supposed to obey our parents. Now, I had an occasion one time to address a situation from a young 12-year-old boy. Let me tell you something, folks. Divorce is a terrible thing. But it's even worse when there's children involved. It's one thing. It's not the unpardonable sin. I'll tell you that. It's not the unpardonable sin, but it's a terrible thing. And when children are involved, it really becomes bad. And I had to advise a young 12-year-old boy one time, and he told me, he says, I hate my dad. I hate him because of what he's done. And I told him, I said, son, do you know what the Bible says? I understand you're mad. And I understand your feelings. But the Bible says you still have to honor your father and your mother. I don't care what he did. Let me tell you what I told him. I said, you know what? He'll stand before the Lord one day and he will answer. Your father will answer for what he did, but you're going to answer for what you did. You're either going to be obedient to God's word or you're not. And I said, that may not be any consolation to you, but I'm telling you, if you follow the principle of which God laid out in the Bible, that if you honor your parents, your days are going to be long. That's the first one in there that has a promise. But if you don't, and you're disobedient to that word, and I understand your feelings, but it's not what God said. God didn't say honor your father and your mother just because they're good or because they're bad. Now, he didn't give us any of those outs. We can't do that. He didn't say that. He just said, honor them. I said, you don't have to like what your father did. I understand. But you still have to honor him. He's still your father. You know, there's a lot. You know, we always got black sheep in our families, you know. And people say, oh, no, are you kin to him? No. You know, we try to say disregard that and all that. Let me tell you what, folks. You kin folks or you kin folks. You can pick your wife. You can pick your friends, but you can't pick your family. You ain't going to pick your family. Let me tell you what my daddy told me. I was 16 years old. Listen, there's nobody that had a better life than me. I was raised on a family farm in Monticello, a dairy family. I know what hard work was. I knew what it was like. I enjoyed the farm. And we had the seventh house down here on St. George Island. I spent my summers down here with a 9-car ferry over here as a kid, running around with 7 houses over here. Ain't nobody done that. Nobody. And I'm still here. But let me tell you what my dad told me when I was 16 and I got my driver's license. He said, son, come here, I want to tell you something. And let me tell you something. My dad and I were very close. Extremely close. When I was young, he took me to church. When he was old and he couldn't go, I took him to church. I'm here today because he made me come.
That's right.
And I heard the word of the Lord. That's what saved me, was the word of God. Wasn't him. He just was obedient to God's word. He said, I'm going to take my son to church. And we were really close. But let me tell you what he told me. I was 16 years old. I just got my driver's license. And I was running around with my mom and daddy's car on the weekends. And I was raising cane just like kids do. And he said, let me tell you something, son. I had a little conversation with the sheriff today over in Jefferson County in Monticello.
No way.
Oh, yeah.
No way.
And I said, Daddy, what were you trying to say? And he said, well, we were talking about drinking and driving. And I thought, well, here's what he did. He probably told the sheriff, he said, if you find my son drinking and driving, then you just pick him up and bring him to the house. That's what I was thinking in my mind. Dad said, no, that ain't what I told him. He said, I told the sheriff, if he catches you drinking and driving, take you to the jailhouse and put you in the jail and lock the door. And he said, and maybe I'll come see him tomorrow. I said, are you serious, Dad? He said, absolutely. He said, I've got your best interest at heart. Let me tell you what. When my dad said something and he drew a line, he meant it. It affected me because I thought about it. I thought about it a lot. Okay? And let me tell you what, every time my friends were out there drinking and driving, and I said, well, I don't think I'm going to do that right now, you know, because I didn't want to go to jail. I didn't want to see it. But my dad was a very smart man, extremely, extremely smart. And he loved me, and he took care of me my whole life. We were really close. But he told me, that's what's going to happen. If you do this, if you're disobedient to me, here's what's going to happen. And he did it. When he said it, it is going to happen. Now look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. Here's what Timothy said was going to happen in the end times. He says, but know this, that in the last days perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. That's what's going to happen. Kids are going to be disobedient to their parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure, rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying his power. And from such people turn away, for this sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women, loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts, allowing learning, and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. They think they're learning, but they're not. They're never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. What's the truth? It's the truth of God. That's what the truth is. It's the truth of the word of the Lord. But they're not going to adhere to that. John 14. Look at John 14. John chapter 14. We're going to close up here real quick. Mike told me not to be short. He said, I'm long-winded. He said, now you better get up there and say something. You better come up with something because, you know what, you don't show me up now. Don't be too short. So I'm doing my best to keep it long, okay? Okay, Mike, you hear that? John 14, 23 and 24. Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, keep my commandments. If you love him, you're going to do what he says. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and my word, which your heart is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. My words and my word, which you hear, is not mine, but the Father. The Father gave Jesus the words. He said, if you love me, you'll do what I tell you to. So that kind of puts it right there where it's supposed to be, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And there, look at Luke 6. In Luke chapter 6. Luke 6, 46 through 49. But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house. Now this is the person who does what he's supposed to. He says, he is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose, the steam beat vehemently against that house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. But he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built his house on the earth without a foundation against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. You want to ruin yourself? Just don't do what the Lord tells you to do. Be a quick ruin. What does sin do anyway? It kills.
Yeah, it kills.
It kills. Listen, you want to die a little bit quicker? Just keep on sinning. Just keep on sinning. You'll die. Don't worry about it. Sin produces death. You go to the word of the Lord spiritually in there. You want to prolong your life? I suspect we ought to listen to Jesus. We ought to listen to what he did. And I want to tell you about Hebrews 10:25 too. I know that one by heart. It says, forsake not the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some do. Let me tell you what, since COVID happened, a lot of churches, people don't go to church anymore. They quit going. They'll sit at the house and watch it on TV. That's not what the Word of God said. It says that we are to assemble ourselves together, not as the manner of other people do. I don't care what everybody else does. I'm coming to church because that's what the Word of the Lord says, that we're to come together and to join together, and we can laugh together, and we can cry together, and we can argue together, and we can do all kinds of things here, but that's what the Word of God says. John chapter 6, verse 44 says, in John chapter 6, verse 44, No one comes to me unless the Father who sent me draws him here, and I will raise him up in the last days. You know, I used to think that when I got saved, you know, I just did this on my own. I did it on my own. No, that's not what the Bible says. It says God called me. God called me. I just didn't get up one Sunday morning and say, you know what, I think this is a good idea to be saved today. I think I'm going to come down here and get saved. I don't know anybody that does that. It just happens. God calls and we answer. But let me tell you one thing I do know. I believe in the sovereignty of God. God's God. He knew me before the foundations of the world. He knew exactly where I was coming from. You see, I was an adopted child as a kid, as a baby, and God already knew where He was going to place me in what family, and He put me in a good one, folks. I didn't make that choice. He did. Did you choose who your family was? Did you choose when you're born? Are you going to choose when you die? No, I don't think so. That's up to the Lord. But He put me in a good family. You see, I was adopted into this family. And then when I was saved, I was adopted into the family of God. It's the same thing in there. It's a big difference. So we have a choice in here. I like what, you know, there's a big argument today. And I'm just like everybody else. You know, I have to read and I read and I've had read books and about the sovereignty of God. And I want to know, did I make the decision or who made the decision? Did I make one? Well, I made a decision one day. I was sitting right there where Robin's sitting when the preacher, and I felt the Lord calling me. And I came. I came forward. And it was a good day for me. It was a good day. But I've always challenged myself. I said, well, did I make the decision or did God make the decision? Listen, He's sovereign God. Here's what Sam Caffey, I went to hear him one time. He was a famous evangelist from Dale City, Oklahoma, and he was in Panama City. And Jolene and I went over there to hear him preach one day. And I like what Sam Caffey said. Now, this might not be the answer. But he said, this one thing I know. I can do whatever I want to. I make my own decisions. But God already knows what I'm going to do.
That's right.
Did you know that?
Yeah.
God already knew what I was going to do. You know, I can sit here and tease myself and say, well, I made the decision for myself. I did it myself. No. It ain't what I did, it's what God did. The sovereignty of God. That's a hard thing to understand as we go through life in here and we are. If the Bible says to work out your salvation with trembling and fear. I'm still working it out. And I'm going to be working it out until I die one day and I'm glorified. But in the meantime, Lord's still going to be teaching me and letting me understand what the situation is. And let's look at John 3:16. Because this is the culmination, really, is John 3:16. This is what it's all about. This is what you and I are supposed to do. Give the gospel message. Did you know that's the only chore that we have? That's the only thing we need to do. I don't do the saving. God does the saving. I ain't saved anybody. Mike hasn't saved anybody. Billy Graham didn't save anybody. God saved them. How? From the preaching of the Word of God. So you want to be obedient? Here's what God says. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through Him might be saved. He who believes in Him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already. Listen, you don't have to worry about being condemned. You're already condemned because you didn't believe on the only begotten Son. Is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. See, a lot of times we leave that last verse out, that verse 18 in it. We just want to do John 3:16 and maybe 17. But you know, read the whole thing. People need to understand. You're already condemned. Because why? Because of the sin that Adam committed way back in the Garden of Eden. And we have to be reconciled back to God. Now, here's what I'm going to tell you right now. You ain't making no decision for God. God will call you. When He calls, I suggest you answer. Let's pray. Father, I thank You, Lord, for Your word. I know it does not come back void. And Father, we only have one responsibility as human beings, and that's to preach Your word. And Lord, I don't understand why that You would use us, a sinner, to help in Your plan of salvation, but that was Your choice. And that's the only thing that we have to do, is to preach the Word of God. And You do the saving. And You do the calling. And Father, I know that I have family members that are not saved, Lord, and I pray for them even right now. I lift them up to you, Lord. And other people have the same situation. But Lord, we acknowledge that our faith is strong. And I believe that you will do what is right, for you know the heart of man. And Father, if we do what is right and be obedient in your sight, then Lord, I have faith enough to know that you will do what is correct too. But Father, whatever that is, we will do obedient to your word. And I ask your blessings, Lord, on our tourists that are here today. I pray for their week, that'll have a good week. I pray for everyone else that's here, Lord. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.
Amen.
I want to tell y'all one thing. My hairdresser's here, Donna. She came today. I told her I was going to preach. She said, well, I'm going to come hear you preach. Thank you, Don, for coming.
Thank you for inviting me.
And your her place of business is right across from the Buccaneer Inn. I'll just give her a little freebie. Okay? Right across from the Buccaneer Inn up there.
Busy today, but I can handle you tomorrow.
All right, well, let's stand and then we'll be dismissed.